recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And it's very intriguing today as we're linked to Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Diamande, and a hell of a lot more. And also, will Jason Wilcox learn from the mistakes of the past, or will he keep making them as Manchester City make yet another move that we should have been copying years ago? Lots to get into the show this morning. Hope you're doing really well. Great to be back live with you as always, and get your teeth into this. There's been a fantastic, and I don't say this very often, there has been a fantastic article written in The Telegraph today by James Ducker. It is very informative. It covers a vast amount of areas, and I think he's a good journalist. So, look, let's get into it. So, remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about who the Spanish midfielder was that Andy Mitten and a couple of other outlets have said that United are looking at. And we've spoken about Barrios at Atletico Madrid, and we spoke about Guerra at Valencia. And some people have spoken about the lad who plays for Sevilla, who I can't remember what his name is. Well, maybe, just maybe, it is Tchouaméni or Camavinga, because the big story coming in overnight was that Manchester United have and are looking at Tchouaméni from Real Madrid. Now, look, let me give you the exact details on this, because there is still mention of Belaba. Manchester United are keeping a close eye on Orion Chouamini's situation. He features prominently on their shortlist of candidates to replace Casemiro as they seek a new top-class number six this summer. Any move could hinge on Real Madrid signing a new midfielder this summer, and they need to sell to finance that deal. Florentino Perez, the club's president, is known to admire Rodri. Now, you could say, not again. I like saying that. Not again. You could say not again, because this technically is making the same mistake we made with Ugarte. Ugarte looks decent at PSG. PSG want to upgrade him for a player that we should be going for, João Neves. And PSG get João Neves, we get Ugarte, and basically we're just taking the shit of other clubs to help them get better. And we have done this before with Real Madrid. We took Varane at the end. We took Casemiro at the end, so they can go and get better than us. Is that just an acceptance of who we are now, though? I mean, I don't want this to be the case, but there is a ladder to climb. We can't go from step one to step 10. If Real Madrid want to sell Tchouaméni to get Rodri, then obviously we're not signing Rodri. And also, Tchouaméni, in my opinion, is a good player. Exactly, Max. I completely agree with you. So you could say, not again. We're helping out a big club so they can buy a better player and we take the player they don't want. You could say that, but we're not Real Madrid. We're not Real Madrid. We're not competing for titles, and we're not competing for Champions Leagues. We're Manchester United, who historically really do struggle to get in the Champions League. And although not again works, Tchouaméni shits all over our midfield. He is better than Casemiro at the moment. He is better than Mainu at the moment. And ultimately, upgrade makes sense. So look, I actually quite like this story. I don't know whether it will develop into anything, but this is a sort of signing that actually makes me feel a little bit happy. And it probably won't come to anything, because as Max, you're on form tonight. Do you want to do this morning? Do you want to do the show? He said he's 26. Well, he's actually 27 in January, Max. So that puts him on the borderline of United's ridiculously stupid parameter, because what we want to do is replace experience, as I was talking about yesterday, as well. So a 26 going into 27-year-old is actually perfect because you get 5 years of experienced midfielder. And what better experience than going from Monaco to Real Madrid for a few years? And, you know, he is better than what we have. So, look, I would love this to grow into something. I'm, as I've always said, I'm very tentative when it's actually something that I want because I'm like, let's not over-egg the pudding here. Let's not run away with ourselves. It is a decent sourced article in The Telegraph by James Ducker that Manchester United are monitoring Tchouaméni. And I suppose the question I would put to you and get in the comments whether you're watching live or not, if I say to you the names Elliot Anderson, Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes, Tchouaméni, how do you rank those four? Because they're the only four relatively experienced players we're going for. Adam Wharton's not experienced. Belaba's not experienced. We're not going for, you know. So out of those four, I would rank them like this. My preference. Tonali would be still be my first choice. Tchouaméni would be my second choice because he's more of a holding midfielder. So Tonali would be number one. To replace Casemiro, by the way. I know we need two midfielders, but we're replacing Casemiro here. I would go Tonali number one. I would go Tchouaméni number two, simply because he's a holding midfielder. I'd go Bruno Guimaraes number three for the experience, and I'd go Anderson number four. I mean, I'd be happy with any of those four, but that's how I would rank them. So I guess the question is, well, obviously the question is, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's rubbish or not? I don't think it's rubbish. I think it's possible. What worries me about it is that it's too good a deal for United to be able to do. I think it's too logical to go and take a Real Madrid proven experienced midfielder who is 26, who is better than what we've got, to replace Casemiro. I think that's just too logical. I think United will go, he's going to be 27 next season. He's not Premier League proven. Let's sign Belaba, you know. And I think the reason I didn't include Belaba in that conversation is because it's just, the contrast is incredible between what Belaba is as a player at the moment and what Tchouaméni is. But I like this. This is something that, you know, really would excite me. And as I thought it was going to be Max again, it's Craig here who says, is Tonali a real six? Well, yeah, I mean, great point. I mean, Bruno Guimaraes is not really a six. Elliot Anderson is certainly not a six. Tonali, I think, is more of the conductor of that Newcastle midfield. They don't play the same way with a holding six, but he is the guy that does a lot of the defensive work. So Tonali is the best Premier League proven replacement for Casemiro. But I think Tchouaméni is probably more that as well. So I think that, you know, either of those two I'd be ecstatic with, really, because I think it goes on to say in the article, like I said, it's quite a lot to get through this morning, but it also says it in the article that Man United don't, and look, we've heard this a few times now, so I think we have to, I'll bring this in now. It, even in that article, it says that Manchester United don't want, a drifting further and further away from Adam Wharton because they feel that Adam Wharton's profile is very similar to Mainoo and they want somebody with more legs. I think that's an acknowledgement that, and I don't think Wharton and Mainoo are the same. I really don't. I watch a lot of football. I do not think Mainoo and Wharton are the same player at all. I think what this is about is that they know that Mainoo's not very quick and they need some mobility next to him. Now, Adam Wharton probably isn't as mobile defensively as, because I don't think Adam Wharton's a six. I think Adam Wharton's more box to box as well. I think the profile of Wharton is that he's probably an eight, the same as Mainoo, and he's not as defensively, you know, intense. So quite rightly, they're probably prioritising somebody to go next to Mainoo with defensive intensity. But can I just say something? Yes, you can. Are we not meant to be buying three midfielders? What if Mainoo gets injured? Having somebody of the same profile of Wharton is sort of worries me a little bit that we're not going for Wharton because he's too similar to Mainoo. Hello, we need to buy three midfielders. So one of them being a similar profile to Mainoo actually does make sense. A few people have said, what about Tchouaméni being injury prone? I should have had this page up already. I have it now because I know some of you are always going to say any signing we go for is injury prone. He isn't injury prone at all. He's missed four games last November with a hamstring injury. He then missed six games the previous November in 2024. And then his biggest injury was a 10-game miss in October 23 with a fatigue fracture. So he hasn't got injuries in any way, shape or form that are concerning recently. And actually, most of his injuries are foot injuries, two of those in 23, 24 and 24, 25, an ankle sprain and then a hamstring. So they're not like their knees or, you know, anything that we need to be concerned about. So I don't think there's a concern with him at all. He's got 2 years left on his contract, so he probably wouldn't be that expensive either. Price-wise, it's a great question. What do you think? I think price-wise, 50. Maybe 60, which isn't bad. Isn't bad for a French international Real Madrid midfielder who's 26. I think you could be getting him for 50, 60 million pounds. Now, you're going to be paying 70, 80, 90, 100 for Wharton, Anderson and Tonali. And suddenly, that becomes very, very, very interesting because arguably he's better than them players and he's definitely cheaper. He can also play centre-back, as Sir Alex says. He's not Casemiro. He's not Casemiro, but who is? But in the market, he's probably the closest thing to Casemiro that exists. It's ironic that he's at Real Madrid, but that's because he was the Casemiro replacement at Real Madrid, you know? So, you know, I quite like this deal. You know me, I'll have a good old moan if I can, but I will be honest and positive if I can, and I like this deal. I don't know whether Man United can do it, but I quite like it. And I think Real Madrid do need to sell midfielders. My issue is, like Din says, is there any chance that Real Madrid will sell? Din says there's no chance they will sell. Another name that's been mentioned is Camavinga. And I think when you look at Camavinga, he's not really the sort of player that I would go for at Man United. It's way bigger risk to go with Camavinga because he's not really consistent. He can play a lot of positions and he has got a lot of potential, but United don't need potential. They need somebody that can come in and do a really good job. I just don't see that. I really don't see that being the case at all. Just to go through some of this other stuff, because there's loads in this Telegraph article from James Ducker. Reports in Spain have suggested that Real are also willing to listen to offers for Camavinga as an alternative route to raise funds. So look, this is the problem, isn't it? You start with the player that you would like to go for and then you end up going for the risk. And that's where Wilcox needs to stop avoiding mistakes. He is the director of football. It also references that, you know, Belaba's still an option. Belaba should not be an option. This midfield market this summer is too awash with talented midfielders to go after Belaba. We just forget it. I don't know why Man United don't put it out there that they're not going for Belaba. Because I tell you what, if Wilcox's popularity rating is 2 out of 10, and that might be generous, if he gets it out there to Romano or whoever, United will not go for Belaba this summer, his rating goes up to 4. I mean, I don't need to work in Man United's marketing department or PR, but I'm telling you now, if an article goes out now saying that Man United will not be signing Belaba this summer, Wilcox's popularity rating goes up. Even though he might not be very good at his job and it might go down again very, very quickly, that builds positivity around the club, which surely they want. Surely you want positivity. Look, I'm not here to talk about the manager today, but if Man United want to appear competent to their fans, because ultimately they want us to put our hands in our pocket, you put it out there, yeah, well, we probably, you know, you don't put this out there, we probably want to give it Carrick, but let's interview a few other managers to make ourselves look competent and your popularity rating goes up. I just think they need to move away from Belaba because there are so many midfield options out there that are better than that. We don't need to go for something like that. It also says in the same article, City are the current front runners to sign another of United's leading midfield targets. Elliot Anderson, Nottingham Forest are thought to want at least 100 million and their prospects of getting that will be boosted if they avoid relegation. United rate Anderson highly, but such a fee could be a significant obstacle. I mean, look, don't get me started on this. I think with Elliot Anderson, I'm almost going to draw a line in the sand for myself and say, let's just see until it's decided, let's just see. But what I will say is if Elliot Anderson signs for Man United and Man United put it out there that, you know, it was too expensive, I will say this. I will say, all right, okay, If you didn't want to go for Elliot Anderson, you never should have spent 9 months briefing credible journalists who are clearly not lying that he is your number one priority. And that's what I will say. Because from September the 1st to today, I've heard Ornstein, Romano, Ben Jacobs, Manchester Evening News, The Athletic, week in, week out, Elliot Anderson's our priority. And if he goes to Man City and United try and pretend, well, you know, it's the fee, I could have told you 9 months ago that Forrest would push for £100 million. You cannot manipulate the people that put you in a job. And I'm talking about the Wilcoxes, the Baradas, the Sir Jim Radcliffes. You survive off the fans of this football club's pockets.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
You don't do that to your own. You don't manipulate your own fan base for your own pockets and then walk away from a deal. You don't tell us for 9 months that this is your priority and then walk away from it because the price was obviously going to be that price is too much. But in fairness, let's wait and see, because I've always felt, I don't know why, I've always felt, and you know I have, Anderson might be holding up a Man United shirt this summer. I don't know why, I just always have felt it, and I might be wrong. So let's reserve judgment on that. But we have been spun like a bottle top massively for 9 months. I mean, they've survived bad results, sacking managers, not spending in January on the Elliot Anderson's the priority. And so many of our fans have swallowed that at points where they could have been getting really angry and saying, what's going on? They've gone, well, you know, we are looking at Elliot Anderson. So that story's been used to extinguish fires in this fan base multiple times over the last 9 months. You can't just walk away from it and go, oh, you know, it's too expensive. But also on Man City's list is Sandro Tonali. But the chances of a move are believed to be receding. Man United's list. I must get this right. Sandro Tonali was high on Man United's midfield shortlist, but the chances of a move are believed to be receding as they assess other options. I don't know why. I don't know why we're moving away from Tonali. I'm only reading what the news is this morning in The Telegraph with James Ducker, but it's only echoing what we were told a couple of weeks ago. United are moving away from the Tonali deal. And I always said, even in the international break, when there were some good stories around Tonali and Bruno G, it felt like United were not going to do these deals. They should be, but it looks like we're moving away. Adam Wharton is another who has been heavily scouted, but it is thought to be considered too similar to Mainly. We've done that one, obviously, of course. Okay, there's some other bits to get into. I just want to grab some of your comments here this morning. Congratulations on the deal, Mark. 5 a.m. in the US. I'm still celebrating, says J. Dot. Hope you're doing well, mate. Thanks for being a member. Dins go on a run, says Matthew. Hi, Mark and United Stand. Hope you're well. Tchouaméni could be one of those opportunities too good to refuse. And if available, I'd sign him as we need top quality. Tonali, Stiller, Tchouaméni would be a great midfield rebuild. Scott as a fourth. I think the worry for me, Daniel, thank you very much for your super chat, is that I'd be very happy with Tonali. I'd be very happy with Tchouaméni. I'd be very happy with Bruno Guimarães. And I'd be very happy with Anderson. But there's four players there. And if we don't get any of them, it's a failure. I'm happy with any of those four players. If we don't get any of them four players, this summer's a failure. It doesn't mean the signings that we make won't be good, but I can't see any of them being anywhere near as good as any of them four players that are all available. If you're Man United and you're back in the Champions League and you're really talking about being, you know, credible, you've got to go and get players of that quality. So I can't demand anything, none of us can, but if we're a serious football club, you go and get one of Tonali, Bruno Guimarães, Anderson and Tchouaméni. You get one of them, and then from the next set, you go and get one of James Garner, João Gomes, Alex Scott, Stiller. There's a few others in that category as well, but you've got to go and get one of them A-star signings. Casemiro has been one of our best players this season. He's leaving. You can't replace one of your most when your best experienced players with João Gomes. He can come in as the second and third signing, but your number one midfielder has got to be absolutely A-star. It's non-negotiable. This season, we play 40 matches and we've struggled in the midfield. Next, potentially 65. We have no midfield now playing next season next to Mainu. We need at least three more, says Slazy. I was doing the maths on this. So this season, we've played 40 games, 38 games in the Premier League, one cup game in both because we got knocked out in the first round. So 40 games this season. We're still picking up injuries. Yoro, Cunha's got an injury at the moment, should be back next Monday. We've had loads of injuries this season, playing one game a week. So that just shows you it's not the games that necessarily cause injuries. We can still pick up injuries in training. We will get more injuries with more games. So minimum next season, 50 games. 50 games next season, minimum. And that's if we get knocked out of both cups in the first round again, because there's 8 Champions League games. And then even if you don't finish in the top 8, we won't finish in the bottom 8. Trust me, we won't. So we'll play a playoff, which is 2 games. So you've got a minimum of 10 Champions League games and a minimum of 2 cup games. So a minimum of 50 games next season, which is a 10-game increase. More likely, you're heading towards 56 games, which is another 16 on top of what we've done, which is heading towards half. So we're looking at an increase of games of close to 50% next season on top of what we're doing now. We've got to buy 3 midfielders. It also indirectly finances City to help them sign Anderson. No to Tchouaméni for me. I mean, that's a great take, Rory. Rory with a great take. That is a great take. So if we buy Tchouaméni and whatever, say it's 60 million, that 60 million goes to Real Madrid, who give that 60 million to Man City, who use that money to sign Elliot Anderson. You're right. But what I would say to that, it's a great point, Rory, but if Elliot Anderson wants to go to Man City and snubs us, he's not coming to us anyway. So if, as part of that deal, Rodri goes, I mean, look, ultimately, we're not where I want us to be, you know? Manchester United are preparing an official bid worth 40 million euros in fixed terms for Eduardo Conceição, with bonuses still to be defined. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. I mean, you know what that is, Eleanor? I wasn't even going to bring it into the show. So I seen it this morning that Man United have been linked to this Conceição. I think he's out in Brazil, isn't he? Give me names of Brazilian players that Man United have been linked to in the last 4 years that, you know, we talk about for about a week and then they sign for Chelsea. He's a Palmeiras player. He's 16 years of age. He's the next Neymar. He's the next Ronaldo. He's the next Ronaldinho. He's the next big thing in Brazilian football. And Man United have been linked to him. And guess what? We won't sign him. Because he'll go to Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona or Chelsea. Like they always do. We had it with Andre Santos. There was another one, centre-back, also went to Chelsea, Argentinian. I don't even talk about these anymore because it's just bullshit. We should be in that market, but we're never in that market. We never are. And also, even if we are in that market, it's another wonder kid. I'm sorry. I do not want to spend £35 million on a 16-year-old. I'm sorry. I don't. And if he goes to Real Madrid and this gets clipped, fine. We need to buy 3 or 4 25 and over players. That's what we need. Anselmino FC, that's it. Oh, absolutely. Patrick Lynch says, the issue is not whether Tchouaméni is good or not. He plays for Real Madrid. The question should always be, do they improve us or not? Will he adapt to the Premier League? We need guys who are ready. Very good point. Monitor, this isn't PC world. Go and get him, says Keel. Thank you very much. Gabrielle, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for supporting the channel and getting your badge in. Really appreciate that. I've just realised that's my screen, which has my... So I'm looking at you there. And that, but all, you know, all this surrounding stuff here, that's on a separate screen so I can make sure that it's, you know, not dropping, etc. I've just realized if I want to know the time, I can look at that screen. 10:22. It's the first time in years I've realized there's actually a clock there that tells me the time. Fascinating. Breaking slow sports news. Marlowe says, except for Bruno, no attack signing has progressed at United in the last 10 years. Many looked good the first couple of months and then declined. How do we solve that? Says Marlowe. Exactly. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Diamande in a moment. Can we get Stiller and Tchouaméni for less than 100 million? Says Dirty Deeds. You probably can. What a pair they would be. Stiller and Tchouaméni for less than 100 million. When you compare, This is the insanity of the modern Premier League transfer market. And it's also the insanity of United's recruitment parameters. Because we're obsessed with Premier League proven and under 26. So you could buy let's say Elliot Anderson and Adam Wharton are going to cost you minimum 160 million. Let's say they're 80 for the pair, but it's probably 100 for one and 60 for the other, whatever. Okay, 70 each, whatever. In excess of 150 million pounds for Wharton and Anderson, right? You would get Stiller and Tchouaméni for about 110. Around 50 for both. And they're both way better as a pair. So, but United won't do it because they'll go, they're not Premier League proven. So we can actually save ourselves money buying Tchouaméni and Stiller, who are infinitely cheaper and, in my opinion, better than going for Wharton and Anderson. But United won't, they won't even do it. It's too logical. It's the same as going for Nagelsmann. They just won't do it, even though it's so obvious to do it. I love the positivity in thinking we're going to buy three players, says Stefan. The board have yet to prove they can be trusted, so I won't believe we're signing three players until they hold up a shirt. I don't think we'll buy three midfielders, mate, but what I'm saying is we need to. And at the end of the summer transfer window, when people are telling us it's been an Ineos wonderland, if we haven't bought three midfielders, I will highlight it like many other people and say, how are we going to get through this season with two new midfielders and Mainoo? Because that's all we've got. There is no young player ready to... And a young, you know, maybe Thwaites comes in, maybe Kone comes back, but that's not fair. That's not how you do it. You need four proven midfielders and a young player who can maybe, you know, get involved. You can't use a young player as one of your core four. That's not how it works. Let's not forget that we don't want to spend in January because we want to spend big in the summer. That died very soon after January, says Sean. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let's whiz through some more stuff. Can I just say this? I've got absolutely no interest in this. Apparently, Sir Jim Ratcliffe was smiling when he heard that Chelsea had bought Garnacho. I mean, what sort of PR rubbish is that about Sir Jim Ratcliffe? Was he smiling when he didn't buy a midfielder? Was he smiling when, you know, he got into bed with the Glazers and made things worse? I mean, I'm not... He can't... Sir Jim Ratcliffe can't PR off selling Garnacho. Come on. He can't. That, to be fair, that's down to Wilcox and that's down to Amrin massively, of course. But I'm bored of the Garnacho stuff. Chelsea might sell Garnacho. Garnacho might stay at Chelsea. I really don't care. You made your bed, you better lie in it. He's not our problem anymore. £40 million looks like a massive bargain. But talking about wingers, this would be a significant update on a normal Tuesday. This is really big. So Florian Plettenberg, Plettigol, German journalist for Sky, has dropped a massive update in relation to Jan Diamande. He says, and this is the left winger from Leipzig, that United actually thought they were getting about 2 months ago. So after we didn't get Semenyo, we briefed this was the player that we wanted. We've held talks. We were really optimistic about it. There's two issues. One, Leipzig are going to finish in the top four and they'll be in the Champions League anyway, so they can boost the price. They weren't in it last year. And two, Liverpool are now making big moves and so are PSG. So I think we are fast approaching the snooze you lose area with Jan Diamande, which is a shame because I think as an out-and-out winger, he is the sort of player that we should be looking at. I mean, in relation to the table, obviously Bayern Munich have won it. Leipzig are 5 points clear of fifth place. They've won their last four games in a row and there are only four games to go. So Leipzig are looking very, very good for that fourth spot, third place spot in the Bundesliga, which gets them into the Champions League. However, Plettigol goes over to say that Liverpool have made him a top target to replace Mo Salah with the move approved by Liverpool. Concrete talks are ongoing with his representatives at Roc Nation Sports, although no agreement has been reached yet and the clubs have not entered negotiations. Leipzig are keen to adjust his salary and extend his contract. PSG, led by Luis Campos, are also in the race and have already held a meeting with his agents. I think we can close the door on Jan Diamande. And that's quite significant, you know, that is. I know we've been talking about Tchouaméni, but these... What worries me is these exciting doors can slam in your face and break your nose at any second with United. And we've had exciting conversations about Jan Diamande, you know, young, exciting winger coming to Man United. We do need a winger. And it looks like that door has slammed shut. And we can't just brush these stories aside because we get sold these stories from credible sources for a long time. And it's a recurring theme with United. You know, if you think back to not this January transfer window, but last January transfer window, we didn't really do anything. We bought Dorgu in, but it wasn't enough. And as soon as that window closed and people were pissed off, David Ornstein dropped a story about Man United being in talks with Kenda. And everybody's like, oh, we didn't do anything in January, but we're now in for Kenda. And then what happens 6 weeks later? Ornstein announces he's signing for Chelsea. We need to open our eyes to the constant manipulation of this fan base by when the club does something bad, they drop a fake positive story. It might not even be fake, to be fair. They might actually be doing it, but they don't follow through on it. So Diamande has been a positive news story for United for about 3 months. We have held talks. We have been interested. But for whatever reason, that door looks like it's slamming in our face now. Now, why are we behind PSG, Liverpool? Why? I think because we wait. I think genuinely it's because we wait. I don't think we weren't in for Kenda. I think we were. I don't think David Ornstein made it up that we're in talks with Kenda. I just think we took too long and Chelsea came in with a better offer. I believe we wanted Elise, but I think we took too long and Bayern Munich came in with a better offer. I think that Man United do want Diamande, but for whatever reason, we've dillied and dallied on it and we've lost our way. Whereas now, Liverpool and PSG are coming in. I mean, look, realistically, Liverpool are not a better option than Man United. And I know I'm going to get ridiculed for that. But right here, right now, we have Champions League football. I know they're going to get it, but they're not a very good team at the moment. Now, obviously, Liverpool are a better run football club than us. And a good summer, they'll probably be back ahead of us next year. It's something we need to worry about. But why have we lost that race? Why are we out of that race? And I think it's because we dither. We go, well, we're not ready to talk at the moment because we've got to wait till the summer. What, you snooze, you lose. And I think United have lost out on Diamande there, unfortunately. Other bits to get into this morning. This was quite interesting. So Bournemouth have announced that Marco Rose will replace Iriola. And a lot of people yesterday, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. A lot of people yesterday basically saying that, look, Iriola announced that he's stepping down from Bournemouth coach a couple of weeks ago. And in no time, Bournemouth have a replacement. Man United sacked Amorim 3 months ago and they're still not interviewing candidates, trying to distract everybody to, you know, give the job to Carrick if he gets Champions League qualification. Basically, people saying we're moving like a small club. Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I mean, look, what I don't understand about United is, and I don't want to talk about Carrick, I'm bored of it, right? They're probably going to give him the job. I don't really agree with it. If they do, I hope it works out. But you can't move away from two things about United, I want to say. One, it's true. Bournemouth, Iriola leaves, they have a new manager already. This is what clubs do. Man United sack Amorim. Follow this story. It's got nothing to do with Carrick. Man United sack Amorim. They interview Ollie and Carrick for the interim. So they didn't really know what... just follow this through. It will make total sense if you just listen, right? Man United sack Amorim in the first week of January. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing when they've sacked Amorim because they don't have anything lined up. So they interview two interims, Solskjaer and Carrick. They don't have a preference. They don't have a plan. They spent 2 weeks interviewing an interim. Never heard of it in my bloody life. They were going to go with Ollie. They changed their mind to go for Carrick, right? They then spend the next 3 months just sitting there going, if he gets Champions League football, maybe we can give him the job. What type of football club is that? It's seat of your pants FC. There's no plan. It's just vibes. And I think that's what people are saying. They're not saying don't give it to Carrick. What they're saying is Bournemouth, Iriola leaves. Bournemouth have run a process to bring another manager in straight away. They're prepared. Man United sack a manager, don't have an interim lined up, have to interview between two they don't know which to go with. They decide on one and then, well, let's give him the job. What if they'd gone for Solskjaer? He'd be our manager again. He'd be getting a 3-year contract. What? How do you run a football club like that? They're just running it on smoke fumes. It's like what I'm saying is should have happened is They shouldn't have sacked Amrim without knowing who they wanted as the interim. But that's irrelevant because ultimately we've got away with it. And when they sacked Amrim, the process should have started. The process should have started in the middle of January. They should have been putting the feelers out, speaking to managers in the middle of January. And we're at the end of April and they haven't done it. They've just gone, let's stick with the interim that we fell on. And that's what people are saying. It might work out, but it's luck. It's not by design. Nothing happens by design with United. They just stumble on things. And they're very fortunate that they've stumbled on Carrick, let's be honest. But that's not by design. Carrick deserves the credit, not the club. The club have fucking stumbled onto this because that's what they do. And I think that's a very, very, very fair point. The second thing I wanted to say, and I think this is probably more important because it takes us back to transfers. You may have seen this morning that Manchester City are about to release John Stones at the end of the season. He'll be 31. He is a bit injury prone, admittedly, but there is a running theme. Man City are probably going to win the league again. How many titles have Man City won in the 13 years United have been shit? Plenty. Manchester City consistently, over the last few years, have released players at the optimal moment to let them go. Not when they're past it, and not when they're shit. Just at the optimal moment. When you look at when they got rid of Kyle Walker, when they got rid of David Silva, when they got rid of De Bruyne, when they're going to get rid of John Stones, these players would still start for Man United next season. But Man City go, you're good, but you're just starting to become past it. So out you go. We'll replace you with somebody who's better. That's why Man City are on the top of English football, because they are incredible in the transfer market. Look at the January transfer market. They buy two players, they're going to win the league. If they don't buy Gehi and Semenyu, they don't win the league, by the way. Absolutely not. So I think that what I'm trying to say is, you know where I'm going with this. Man United have just given a contract to Harry Maguire, who's 33.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
We tried to get Casemiro to stay. We're not behaving like a competent football club. We're behaving like a cheapskate charity, because a lot of people were celebrating that Maguire deal. And it's got nothing to do with Maguire. We're talking about the way the club is run. Fair play to Maguire. He's been one of our best players this season, and so is Casemiro. But would Manchester City behave like that? Would Manchester City... And let's not forget, there was no pay cut. People are still walking around saying, well, he took a pay cut. Listen to what Andy Mitten said. The rumour is he didn't take a pay cut. We gave him the same deal. So we've kept a 33-year-old on about, what, 150 grand a week, 180 grand a week? I can't remember what it is. But we've done it for money. We haven't done it because it's the right thing to do. We've done it for money. We've done it because if Maguire goes, you've got to spend 50 million on a centre-back. So keeping him on the same contract is cheaper than buying a £50 million centre-back. And if Casemiro had another year on his deal, he'd still be here next year and we wouldn't even be talking about Tchouaméni or Tonali. They'd keep him for another year because it's cheaper than spending £70 million on a striker. And these are the fundamentals as to why it's very scary. And I said this on my video last night, I'm scared. These are the fundamentals as to why it's very scary at Manchester United, because... yeah, the next manager might be a genius, but they're suppressed by this incompetence. Like, if I was manager of Man United, I'd be like, I need this, this, and this, and this. And I'm being told, we're keeping that. And I'm like, you what? Yeah, we're keeping that because it's cheap. There's too many things that we do. If, you know, Bournemouth are operating in the manager market quicker and more efficient than we've had. They've done more with their manager situation in 2 weeks than we've done in 3 months. Man City are moving better players than ours out because they're 31 and we're giving 33-year-olds new contracts. And we're not giving like 33-year-old Rio Ferdinand a new contract or 33-year-old Paul Scholes a new contract, proven winners. We're giving it to players that they're decent, but they're not. You don't need to be begging them to stay. They're not that decent. They've not won us titles. But it's cheap. That's what it's all about. Everything we do is about cheap. It's cheaper to keep Luke Shaw at this football club next season on 170 grand a week than it is to boot him out and spend 40 million or 50 million on Trufford. So we'll stick with that. And the sooner fans realise this, the better. You get sold ambition and then reality slaps you in the face. Oh, we want to be one of the best teams in Europe, want to challenge for the title, but we're going to keep Luke Shaw here for 150 grand a week rather than buying a better left back. The answer to Man United's problems are absolutely right in front of you. And I think people have just started to ignore it. And I don't know what. I would level this at ex-players, including Gary Neville and Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt and Roy Keane. I would level it at them. You know, we have been a team with those players that have won numerous titles, Champions Leagues. How they can sit there and say, I think it's a good idea to keep Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Deleu, whatever. How they can sit there with a straight face and say, yeah, it's good to keep players like that around. They've been in a dressing room where you win titles. Would they have been happy to be in a dressing room with, you know, let's say, you know, Luke Shaw would be the equivalent of what? These are not players to be building a future around. They're not actually worth keeping around. They should be moved on because of their age and their wage for better players. That's what should be happening. But we've fallen into this. I think what it is, it infects the fan base, it affects the media, and it infects the ex-player community as well. The standards have dropped so far, they've gone down with them. They've forgotten what we actually are meant to be. We're meant to be able to compete with Man City. I'd like us to compete with Real Madrid. Obviously, that's hypocritical because I'm saying let's take Germini that they don't want anymore, but he's better than what we've got. But you have got to climb the ladder. Everything we do should be about climbing the ladder. Step 10 is winning the Premier League and the Champions League again. I'd say we're on step one. Some people might say we're on step zero. I'd say we're on step one. I understand that step two, three, four is probably buying players that won't win you the title at step 10, but they've got to be better than what we've got. Everything we do should be better than what we've got. And there's decisions being made that aren't right for our future. They're not right for our future. Like, we shouldn't be keeping some of these players around the football club for the next 2 or 3 years just because they're experienced. Some of them just aren't up to it. Varane, Casemiro and David were good decisions. We should have done the same with Maguire. His injury history is worrying, says GGMU. Fact four, Emily Derry is Beth in disguise, says Amir. That's a conspiracy. Al-Amir says, fact three, Mark's best analogy ever is one about the sled dogs having changed one by one ends up so bad versus changing the lot at once. I don't even remember that one, Al. I'd like to read that. He says, fact two, it's obvious the board want to maintain a European slot for the next 4 or 5 years till the stadium is done. No competitive DNA whatsoever. This is the thing that scares me the most. And I don't know, it's a conspiracy, so it might not be true. I just think we're pitching ourselves in at fourth or fifth for the next 5 years. Stability, which won't provide stability. But hypothetically to them in their heads, it might provide stability. But you know, when you finish fourth or fifth, there are losses in there. And when them losses occur, people get pissed off. Fact one, United will never have a way back until we do 7 to 8 players in and out in a single window. GGMU, that was from Al Amir as well. Thank you very much for your facts. GGMU says, why is Diamande special? Don't get the hype. A winger from Bundesliga can't cost over 90 million unless he's generational. I'm sorry. Well, give us an alternative, mate, because I don't like missing out on players that are going to make us better, especially for rivals. You know, you might have dropped an absolute perler there. You might have also dropped a stinker where in a year's time, Diamande's pet tearing it up for Liverpool and we're going, we could have done that. Slazy says, United work so slow in the transfer market. I won't be surprised if we finally make a move for Schneider this summer and Vidal. Thank you very much. Laura Baxter says, how many doors will be slammed shut in our faces? Look, already this year we've had two. Diamande, by the sounds of it. Semenyu, definitely. Anderson's door is swinging. Which way is it going to slam? We don't know. We've slammed the door on Tonali, which is crazy. The only door that looks like it's wide open at the moment is one that says Belabor on it. Laura Baxter, thanks for being a member as well. If we don't buy a left back and three midfielders, it's no wonderland, says Keeping It Real. I think, in my opinion, there are five priority signings for Man United. There are three midfielders, there is a left back, and there is a left winger. They are priority signings for United. We also need, in my opinion, a right back, a backup striker, a backup goalkeeper. And if Bruno goes, which I don't think he will, we need something else. I've got my ring stuck on the wrong finger. Get out. I don't know whether you wear a ring, but that is weird, really annoying. I've stuck it on the wrong finger. I've been messing around with my ring and now it's stuck on my finger. Oh, God. I need some fairy liquid. Don't panic. It'll make it worse. If I twist the ring and pull. Oh, yes. Bloody hell. God. Well, you're staying on that one. That actually really hurt. I should have got the fairy liquid. Oh, God. Sympathy in the chat. Grim says, Stiller and Tchouaméni, Nagelsmann are Favell targets and Carrick wants Wharton, Anderson are Wilcox targets. I've had to guess. Who would you follow, Mark? I mean, look, that is an incredible hypothetical. In fact, it almost feels like it should be a poll here. I can create a poll out of this. So either or. It's a bit of fun. So you've got Carrick, Anderson, Wharton, and you've got Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni, Stiller. Let the chat do their thing. I mean, look, what Grimm's basically saying is Favell will probably be asking for Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller, and Wilcox will probably be asking for Carrick, Wharton and Anderson. Which way would you go? Morning, Mike. Sorry, Mark. It's not Mike. I'm loving the show this morning. I don't know if it's lack of sleep from Baller League last... I tell you what. Rooney was at Baller League yesterday. I was 10 metres behind him. We were literally walking down the same backstage corridor and there was loads of double doors and he was with his family and entourage and I was about 10 metres behind him. And every time I was getting closer, I was walking quicker, somebody would go, Mark, can I have a picture? I don't know why they weren't doing it to Rooney. I think it's because he had his entourage there. And that would take me back. I'd go, yeah. And then it'd be 15 metres. And ultimately, he went in through some double doors to VIP and I didn't get to meet him. But it was an incredible crowd. Incredible crowd. I mean, it's been great fun in London. But that M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool, it was amazing. And the crowd was incredible, considering a lot of them were Liverpool. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I really enjoyed it. We were better last night. We lost 6-4, but we messed it up in the game changes. But we were a lot better last week compared to... we were a lot better this week compared to last week. And, you know, it's great to be involved in it. But, it was... Jim Skin was there as well. No, Rooney was the attraction for me. Right, I'm just trying to buy a bit of time, as you can tell, for the poll. Let me just... I want a few more people to vote. Max says, City release Stones, but United keeping Maguire is crazy. It lacks ambition. It's papering the cracks. I like Harry and I like Maguire, but it's papering the cracks. He, at 33, Maguire should be going to play for AC Milan or Everton. He shouldn't be staying at Man United for another year. That is what... But I understand why he wants to stay. I understand why we're happy for him. It's not about Maguire being shit. It's about the club progressing and showing ambition. I don't think it shows ambition to keep a 33-year-old at the club for another year because he's popular in the dressing room. I think it shows that they're not ambitious to go and buy Murillo from Forest or push for Schlotterbeck or whoever, you know? Or provide a platform for Aidan Heaven. I mean, it wasn't an argument, but I'll use it now. Aidan Heaven needs to start for Man United as many times as possible now. How many games is Aidan Haven going to get next season in a back four with Martinez and Maguire ahead of him? What would you do? What would you rather do next season? Integrate Aidan Haven into the team or give Harry Maguire minutes? You know, it's a good point as well. You brought up Carrick and Belaba was a bad idea as it's lot too long shots. Would you rather have Nagelsmann but only get Belaba and another mediocre midfielder, or Carrick but you get Anderson and Tonali? I mean, it's a hypothetical, Alec, but you can't give Nagelsmann, Belaba and a shit midfielder. We would struggle and he would be fired. So in that situation, I would take Carrick with Anderson and Tonali. But I still think that might be a problem. It's a hypothetical shit sandwich, isn't it? Varane, Casemiro did that one. Okay, like, let's have a quick look. There's something else I wanted to just very quickly touch on here. Did you read this? I mean, I don't even think it's... they're called UTD Cara on Twitter. It just got sent to me. I don't know. Right, okay. Hearing Man City are letting John Stones leave at the end of the season, but at Manchester United, we're doing charity football for players. Bring Rashford back. He's from the academy. Keep Dalot. He's almost 30. Can we lose Casemiro's contract? Shaw should stay because he broke his leg for us. Give Maguire a new contract. This is why we're stuck. Okay, I have a couple of other bits here. Rosinha wants to keep Garacho. That's great for you. That's nothing to do with us. There we go as well. Okay, right, we'll come back. Coming back to what you know. Here we go. I don't know whether we've got an 8... I'm live with you tonight. I don't know whether we've got an 8 o'clock show tonight or a 7 o'clock show tonight. I don't know whether I'm doing Brighton-Chelsea or not. I haven't made my mind up. Should have done a poll on that. Might do Brighton-Chelsea at 8 o'clock and do a watch-along because it's sort of interesting in relation to the Champions League, and it's probably the only midweek game I want to watch. So I might do Brighton-Chelsea. Let me know your thoughts on that. But the poll that matters is in. My God, fasten your seatbelts. So look, this is what fan opinion's all about. You have an either or. You can have Carrick as manager and sign Anderson and Wharton, or you can have Nagelsmann as manager and sign Tchouaméni and Stiller. This is going to break the internet. People are going to go mad in the comments when this gets clipped up because you're almost going Sir Jim and Ineos against Qatar here because you're going UK against outside the UK. So Carrick, Anderson and Wharton, totally British, against Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller, all foreign. 82% of you have chosen to go with... It's that Star River Dance. Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller. 82% have gone for Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller, and 18% have gone for Carrick, Anderson and Wharton. I mean, that's incredible. That's an absolute landslide. I would have thought that would be a little bit closer. I do see the merits of Anderson and Wharton added in with Mainoo. And obviously Carrick's got good results. So I do see the merits of that. But I would vote Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller. I think Tchouaméni is better than Anderson and Wharton as a replacement for Casemiro. I think Stiller is a player that I personally think, if we bought him, would be revolutionary for the club and have a very similar impact to Bruno in a deeper role. And Nagelsmann is a coach that I think builds clubs, works with youth, has had multiple experiences with multiple different clubs, including big clubs and managing Germany. And I think it's the manager we should be pushing for, who if we don't get, will probably end up a massive club. So I would go with that. And maybe that is the Favel choice. I don't know. When can we expect to hear back from 1 minute videos, says Andrin. I've seen your clip. It's shit, mate. So I'll tell you now you're out. No, I'm joking. We are working through them. It's just been busy. And also, obviously, with the announcement last week and what's been going on, it's a process that we're working towards. So you will hear back and I'll tell you when we start, you know, getting contact with the people that haven't gone straight into the recycle bin. We'd be level with Arsenal if we beat Leeds. Here we go. I love these sort of questions. We'd be level with Arsenal if we beat Leeds, West Ham, Forest and Burnley. Yeah, mate. We'd also be in a better position if we'd beaten 10 men Newcastle, West Ham, Bournemouth and Leeds. And guess what? Arsenal would be if we won all those games, why can't Arsenal say Arsenal would have another 12 points if they'd beaten us at home? They'd not drawn to Forest away. They'd not drawn to Wolves away. They'd not drawn to Brentford. They'd not drawn to Liverpool 0-0 at home. Everybody can play that game. Honestly, I think that, Sal, is a terrible comment. And it's one that I would think United fans are more intelligent to make. You can't look at the games where you've dropped points and go, we could have another 12 points and be in the title race, because Arsenal can do that. And also, you can say that, you know, Everton had chances to beat us. We won. If Palace had a man sent off, they were on top. If Romero wasn't an idiot, Spurs were on top. We won them games as well. If Man City had their back four out, would we have beat them? We did. After 38 game seasons, after 38 games, the best team wins the league, the three worst teams go down, and woulda, shoulda, coulda disappears. 38 games is done for a reason, because ultimately, normally, the best team, you are where you deserve to be. I think we'll finish third, and I think that's a good season for us. Morning fam, says Tom. Are we playing the same amount of games on a Monday as other teams? Another point, the centre midfield issue is we never replaced Eriksen, hence all the conversations we've had. Tchouaméni, Stiller and Nagelsmann. We haven't replaced Roy Keane. If you want to be completely honest, the midfield has been neglected. The neglect of the midfield weirdly started when the Glazers bought Man United. We've always been shit in the midfield recruitment area. I remember Sir Alex talking about value in the market. We've never really been good at recruiting midfielders. In fact, you could argue the best midfielder we recruited was probably Carrick in 2006, which is 20 years ago. We've never really sorted the midfield out. As for Monday night games, I mean, I probably sort of got used to it now, but yeah, another Monday night game against Brentford is our next game. I think that's the last one. I don't think it's possible for us to play another Monday night game, because I think the next Monday night game is Spurs. But we'll never play a Monday night game again, hopefully, because this is what happens when you're not in Europe. So if you want to blame somebody, yeah, that's why it is. Talk about wonder kids. I think Odegaard signed for Madrid when he was only 16, says Michael Murray. Please do Chelsea Brighton. Please, 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 says Max. And when can we expect? I've done that one from Andron. Done that one as well. John Stones makes Phil Jones look like Bruno, says Robert. We never evolve, so we never progress and fall further back whilst our rivals continuously get better, says Daniel. The top clubs do everything possible to try and win whilst our board just care about saving pennies. Never a true word said. Tchouaméni, Stiller, El Krupe and left back, says Santa. Well, we need more than four, but I'd be happy with those. There we go. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I've actually had a really good morning show. Not that any other show isn't good, but some just, you know, you do really enjoy. So I've really enjoyed it today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure you smash a like and subscribe. 82% has stabilised. 82% would go Nagelsmann, Tchouaméni and Stiller over Carrick, Anderson and Wharton. I mean, I don't know whether United monitor these things, but they probably should. You know, you should listen to what your fans are sort of thinking about your recruitment policy. This under 26 Premier League proven bollocks is expensive. And there are so many players that you can buy from the continent that will come in and hit the ground running. Thanks everybody for watching. Take care, stay safe, and I will speak to you all later. We've got the 2 o'clock show as always, and it sounds like we'll be live at 7 o'clock tonight if I'm going to do the Chelsea-Brighton game. Speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.